Hello, everyone, and welcome to the inevitable episode of MSI, or International Event Coverage, where we talk about North America's performance in a really exciting way. And boy, are we getting in early this year with some exciting things that have happened in the past week. We're also going to be previewing some exciting things happening in just a few hours. But first, let me introduce my co-host for the episode. It's Cubby. Cubby, how's it going?
Good. It's been a busy week. We're staying up for MSI, and then I'm all caught up on the VOD reviews. So, between that and then recorded the jungle last night, which is live. It's been fun. I mean, I enjoy having League of Legends on. I get to work around it, and it's nice. Besides that, ran 16 miles last week, so we're trying to get back into it. When I was in shape, I was running like 30 miles a week, so I'm still way behind.
Jesus, what inspired that?
Honestly, it keeps me sane. It was COVID. Like, I couldn't get out and golf a lot during COVID. So running was my way to get outside. And I sit behind the PC a lot, so I have to do something to make up for it.
Yeah.
That, and then one of my buddies is in the Olympic trials for the marathon. And so he, I like talking and running with him. He's helpful.
Nice. Yeah, I went for a hike this morning. I'm trying to get out more.
Nice.
And especially with all the nice sunny days coming along. It's a good time. Well, our guest for this episode is none other than Sven. Sven, how you been?
Yeah, I mean, I walked to Chipotle today and got myself a steak bowl. So I guess you could say I'm also, nice. You know, walking a lot these days.
Yeah, no, I think walking Chipotle is great. And you did both an exercise and you got protein, and you built those two things in together. I think that's really impressive.
Exactly. Yeah.
You don't have the... Do you ever get dragged into the C9... systems situation where, you know, they're working out in the early morning? You never try to get in on that?
Nah, like, when I got here, Cena was like, yo, do you want to get free food in exchange for watching our scrims? And I was like, yeah, that sounds fucking good, actually. But I said to, like, the people, like, I want to work out in the mornings. I want to do my own thing outside of the C9 hours, because the workout is at 9 a.m. or 10 a.m., actually. I was like, fuck that, bro. I just want to work out at my own hours. My own program, because Cena's workouts are more like cardio, injury prevention, like core, good for you kind of workouts, whereas I want to like lift a bit, you know, get bigger and stuff. So
gotcha.
Not really my thing.
You're not looking to get healthier, you're just looking to get bigger.
Exactly.
I mean, okay. Muscle is like the healthiest thing you can have on you as you get old, so Sven's just getting ahead of the curve here.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, regardless, it's good to have you on the show. I appreciate you doing this. You ended a stream, and my chat was saying, oh no, he's losing, he's going to be tilted. And I also heard recently about your giant queue, that situation that you ended up having.
I took a call on that already.
Oh, you did? Okay, okay.
Yeah.
Well, we don't need to talk about it, but yeah, we'll...
I'm always tilted, so I'm never tilted.
Yeah. Fantastic. Well, hey, before we get into the sort of casual jabber that we normally get into, do you want to give people the spiel, since I think we have a lot of people who are not normally watching the show because we got this Sven raid?
Yeah. So if you guys want to call in, talk to Sven. I think a lot of our calls are going to be around MSI today. We can go into the chat or join discord.gg/Travis. And from there, you are able to put a take. You at me in either pleb topics or subtopics. If you're extra cool and you sub to twitch.tv/TravisGafford or are a member on YouTube. And then if your take's good, I'll put you in a waiting room and we'll go grab you and we can talk MSI and anything else going on. As I think we did the show like that. We've already covered Thanatos being announced. I don't think there's a lot of news to cover in NA. We did have a Dignitas announcement with Licorice coming in.
We are a Nero for Immortals.
And a Nero.
Yes.
And Treats being an assistant for Dig as well. So there are some things moving in NA.
Yeah. So I think the focus for this will definitely be on MSI, but super happy to take one or two calls on some of the changes that we're seeing in North America as well. If you are, by the way, a member of the YouTube channel or you are a sub over on Twitch, you do get access to the sub topics channel, which moves a little slower and gives you, I don't want to say like a better chance, but it helps us sort of try to pull some takes there. So it's no guarantee, but do make sure that you're synced with Discord so that you can get access to that channel and drop some stuff into that as well if you're trying to get on. And thank you to everybody who's coming over here from Sven's channel. Hopefully you enjoy the show. It's going to be a fun one as we talk about all things MSI. But while we're getting the waiting room filled up, Cubby, what have you been up to this past week? Anything interesting?
I watched Tales of the Empire, if anyone's a Star Wars fan. It was just okay. Tales of the Jedi were much better.
I didn't even know what that is.
So they do like these shorts, cartoon shorts, that kind of fill out the timeline. Tales of the Jedi was quite good because it focused on Ahsoka, like before and after Clone Wars, and also Count Dooku before and after, and it covered Count Dooku's turn as well, which was cool. So yeah, this one, they covered two characters like have been recently introduced, and so they're just kind of filling out the timeline, and it's kind of mid. So, but I did get my Star Wars fill on May the 4th. I'm just waiting for Acolyte now.
Yeah, and, I had to go see, I saw Phantom Menace in theaters, and
oh yeah,
I left before it was done because I had another thing I had to go to.
Did you see Duel of Fates?
No.
Why'd you go then?
I mean, it's a great question. I was asking myself that. The pod racing sequence is pretty good, but man, the pacing in that movie is just so rough. And
it's poopy. Yeah.
Yeah. What have you been doing, Sven, outside of streaming?
What have I been doing?
I've watching been, any shows, playing any games?
No, I wake up, like I eat something, I stream solo queue, and I work out. That's the only thing I do literally every day for like ever since LCS was done, I guess. I watch MSI, which I've ruined my schedule for, which might not be the move, but I don't know. I feel like watching the games live just hits different, you know?
Yes, 100%.
Even so, like, and the games this week are really good. So, like, I didn't watch like the 4 a.m. like Loud versus Scam type of matches, but you know, Top versus TL is too good to miss.
Mm-hmm.
I might skip BLG versus PSG because who cares, right? They're just gonna get ran over.
TL so you're just cope. You're just 16 hours of League of Legends right now.
Yeah,
every day. I respect that. That is
exactly
impressive.
What else is there to do? Honestly, actually, I've been trying to get my driver's license, and I figured out that apparently you have to bring your own car to take your driver's test.
Yeah.
And you have to get that car that isn't yours insured, which is like mind-blowingly American.
This sounds familiar. My girlfriend was helping someone go through this process and lent her car to someone.
Like,
so yes.
Like where I'm from, you just go there. They have a car with like a driving school sign on top of it, so people give you space when you're on the road. And then you just use that, you know? Like, hello, America?
What there are driving schools where if you're trying to take lessons, they have cars that like the other person or like the passenger can like have their brake or whatever, so they can, it kind of works that way. But
then
most people don't use that system. And yeah, I had no idea. I never even thought of the idea that other, is this like the way it is in most of Europe, or is are you only aware of it in Denmark?
I mean, I never tried anywhere else, so I guess only Denmark, but I think most people can relate. But then I asked Tran, the C9 president, if I could use the C9 car. Like
the Kia.
C9,
use the Kia.
Yeah. And he was like, it's only insured if High or David Armour, the GM, drives it. And I'm like, well, blows.
This does seem like a Kia sponsorship moment, like a Kia opportunity. They needed like a video.
Hey, it was
honestly,
you,
they
it was you who said it, not me.
It. Yeah. It was a sponsorship opportunity for Kia. That's so funny. Okay, well, good luck with that. Have you figured out how you're going to solve it?
Yeah, he said you just go and you rent a car, and then
so
you
you're
get
gonna
insurance
rent a car,
on a
okay.
rented car.
Yeah.
That's the move, yeah?
Well, you have to buy... Aren't you going to buy a car anyway? Are you trying to get a driver's license and just drive other cars? Or, like, I assume you're getting a driver's license to get a car.
So here's the whole thing.
Yeah.
In Denmark, you, for some reason, due to a very old law that no one knew about, you can't take a driver's license without a Danish address.
Okay.
Which I don't have because I live here for the last 6 years, right?
Sure.
So then some person was like, actually, you can't take a driver's license in Denmark even though you're, you know, Danish citizen and all that bullshit. So, but if I get one done here, that will work in Denmark. From what I
you're trying to get an American driver's license so you can drive in Denmark.
Yes.
That's wild.
I'm glad it makes sense to you as well.
That is so funny. Oh my God. Okay, well, that's fascinating.
Yeah, you can convert your driver's license, from what I understand, or something like that. It's complicated, whatever.
That is
But
so
that's the
funny.
gist of it. That's why we're here.
Yeah.
But yeah, learning in America, you don't have to do like driving lessons and stuff. You can just go to the driving school, whatever, and just pull up like, "Hey, can I get a driver's test?" Yep, go
Yeah,
ahead. And if
exactly.
you fail it, you can just come back next day. That's what Perks did. He failed it, I think, twice. He just came back next day every time. He's like, "Oh, you again? Yeah, what's up, bro?"
Yeah, that's
He just
just
pulled up
the
and go again.
that's the American freedom that we have, you know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you have to pay, of course, but
Yeah, but it's not that
that's
much money.
freedom.
It's like $25 or something, or at least that's what it was when I did it. So, that's so funny. Okay. Well, I think we have pulled some takes, so I think we can get into stuff. But Cubby, you want to go off and grab the first caller?
Yeah, let's do it.
Awesome. Thank you to, while he's doing that, some shout outs to folks. We got Haru, Cartipole, C9 Bobby, Carpeezy, Lost Bard, Oh My God, Joseph Joestar, Belloc Kababy, Dasher 777. Over on YouTube, we got Shandabear and Warspite. Thank you, everybody, for the support. It is very much appreciated. We got our first caller here, and it's T-Bone. T-Bone, where are you calling from?
Calling from Long Island.
Long Island. What do you want to talk about on the show?
So my take is that like FlyQuest has to blow up the roster or they just won't make worlds. The other teams are improving and FlyQuest did implode. I don't know if it's even likely if they will improve enough to make worlds when they get back to North America. And even if it's just like to scapegoat a player, I think that they need like the new slate kind of feel. And also, I was always of the opinion that like FlyQuest had too much of a clashing of styles, and like FlyQuest just needs to commit to either like the more safe scaling play for unforced errors and like Jensen, or the high pressure, early tempo Whippo inspired kind of team. And I don't know exactly what players they have to replace. I don't know what would work best for them, but they need to make changes.
Okay, can you define blow up the roster? Because you say they need to blow up the roster, and then you say they need to make changes, and like they're
Like two or three players need to be swapped out.
two to three.
Like,
Okay.
I'm just saying blow up because usually you only make 1 to 0 changes between spring and summer. I know that blow up usually means five in terms of like winter off season. So,
So pick one. The two or three?
two or
Yeah.
three, yeah.
So pick one style.
Okay. So, 2 to 3. Do you have opinions on what changes you would make?
I don't know what like FlyQuest finances are. I don't know exactly what their options are. I don't like if I had all the money in the world, I would just try to see if C9 would want to do a JoJo for Jensen swap. I think that would improve both teams, but I don't know if that would happen.
All right.
Then
All right. So they need to make changes. I want to hear from Cubby first. Cubby, you said you had a lot of opinions about FlyQuest after MSI.
my biggest disappointment, like I don't know like whether it's changes or not. My biggest disappointment with FlyQuest is they got worse throughout the event, and their interviews about how and why was pathetic. Like for me, the like you go international to go compete, and I didn't see FlyQuest compete. Like they ended up getting worse, and for me, the game twos, like specifically in the T1 series. And the second PSG series, like I don't know what Inspired was doing. It felt like Inspired was playing to not win the game. Like was playing for posterity. Like he wasn't clearing to the right side of the map. He wasn't like trying to take free dives on Rumble against PSG. He was going away from his bot lane that was like going to be clearly dove in the T1 game. And the game ended like so fast because I don't think Inspired played towards the right win cons. And I really like the answers that FlyQuest give afterwards are like, yeah, PSG took more away from the loss than we did. Like, well, then what about the T1 series? Like, if your confidence is that boom too from losing to T1, like, what is going on? I like for me, it's I feel like FlyQuest as a team have faced adversity twice now and losing to TL and then this MSI performance. And each time the adversity has had an extreme negative effect on them. And it has not gotten better. So I don't know if it's changes or not. I just want this team to compete. and I didn't like see them go out there and compete.
All right, but the caller's take is that there needs to be changes.
No, I don't. I mean, if you have to make changes to make sure they compete, then do it. But I don't think you need to make changes. I just want to see them actually go out and fight.
Okay, so you think changes are not necessary. They just need to figure their shit out.
It's just GAM got better throughout this event. FlyQuest got worse. GAM was in a terrible scenario going into this event. They played better throughout their series on stage. FlyQuest did not. They were not a team in that second game against PSG. I don't know what happened. So whatever you need to change to make sure that we compete and can actually play as a team throughout an event or survive adversity, that's the change. I don't think that comes from players. I don't know if that like requires a change. You know, I just want to see them do better at competing. Because for me, this team did not compete. Like they gave up on themselves. And that really pisses me off.
I mean, I just feel like they got mega fucking tilted after that T1 match.
Yeah.
That feels like they just went off the deep end there.
And that's brutal, because like that's one of the best teams in the world. You should get blasted in that. Like, I would be more tilted losing against TL because I feel like I should win the TL match. If we're getting tilted losing against the best team in the world like that, and it doesn't light a fire under our ass to actually go out there and compete again, then what are we doing?
Yeah.
That's my issue.
So Sven, besides your opinion that they should change their ADC to somebody who's not playing in the LCS right now, what do you think of the take that FlyQuest should make roster changes? Or they won't make Worlds? Because that's actually what the caller is saying. It's like, they won't make Worlds unless they make roster changes.
It's just a hard take to argue about from an outside perspective, because unless Fly has, like, massive internal issues, which I guess people can speculate based off of, like, random shit like interviews or, like, small things, like, these interviews that you see are, like, 5 minutes of players spending, like, you know, 200, 500 hours together, right? They spend every single hour of the whole day together. So you don't actually know what the dynamic is like. So it's like saying you should blow up the whole roster is like, it's just speculation for me. Like, I don't know how their scrims are looking like, if the players are talking to each other, if they're like genuinely hitting each other, or like, you know, like, it's just, how can I say this? Sure, based on their play, they play kind of shitty, and the rookies in the ball end didn't play super well. Well, Booster didn't play super well, at least. Matsu played, I think, okay, I guess. Like, nothing special, nothing terrible. But, like, what did you expect from FlyQuest? I think the best case for them would be to beat PSG, advance the main stage, and then they'll lose every game they play from that moment onwards. That was my expectation of them. And then also PSG wasn't that crazy, you know, that they lost to them. So, like, I don't think it's that crazy that they brought the whole roster, unless they have big internal issues. Like, if their whole team has... Like, if they can't even scrim without people getting mad at each other or tilting, then sure. But that's something that we can't know.
But it sounds like you're like, that's the only scenario. Like, and as long as everyone is not like mega tilted with each other, don't all fucking hate each other, there's not like people screaming at each other or whatever, you think it's fine to keep the roster together and even despite their poor performance?
Yes, because one, what's the alternative? Like, I mean, we can make jokes like getting Jojopion for Jensen, but like, bro, like, come on, let's be realistic here, right? It's like the joke I made in chat about maybe just ask T1 to get Faker instead of Jensen, like a swap, you know? It's not gonna happen. So like, and Jensen wasn't even the problem in their games. No one was like the straight up problem. They just played really poorly, and for reasons we can't know. So like, who are you actually going to replace, and with who? You know, let's be realistic here. From the coach's POV, they can probably tell. Can this roster be saved? Like, Masu played fine. Busu mm-hmm. did not. Who can replace these people with? I don't know. Is Topside an actual problem in like terms of, are we tilting? Are we causing issues that are not game related? It's just questions that we can't answer. So like, I feel like it's a hard take to defend or argue against. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Wait, may I just ask an additional question real quick, Sven?
Sure.
Yeah, hit me.
Do you think that this FlyQuest roster will make Worlds in summer with like just everything that we've seen this year, including Spring Split, including MSI?
Do I think the team that was first place in regular season and second place in the playoffs will make Worlds? Yes, I think so. Yeah, I think that unless they have, like I said, massive internal issues. I actually had a take. This is kind of like a side note, but my take was, if you go to MSI and you don't have massive internal issues that ends up with someone being replaced or benched or like people hitting each other, then you will just get better from that tournament compared to other teams. You will just stay ahead because you get, because of scrimming against the best teams in the world, because you play against them on stage, experience. But if you have internal issues, that's not the case. So yeah, I think FlyQuest will make worlds. Oh.
Okay, so I do want to like kind of follow up on this. I mean, I think that FlyQuest with this roster again makes worlds. My concern though is like, I think they got worse throughout this event. Like, yes, it was a bad day, but like, this is two instances now where this team has faced adversity, and I don't think they've responded well to it. And like for me, like, I mean, it's impossible to know what happens behind the scenes, but that is a concern, right? Like, I look at the games, like the game two against PSG. Like, I mean, I think the draft was poor, but also top side goes sour, and I feel like the team just quit. Like, I Busio and Inspire were not linked ever in terms of a deploy from there. Like, I don't know what the issue is, but like, that team did not play as a team, and like, that is my biggest concern. Like, I don't know if you need to make changes for this, but also like, that this is an issue that we've seen more than once now, right? And it's my biggest thing. Like, I want to see them get better throughout a tournament. Like, I think that's the biggest thing for me. Like, this team for me got worse every game they played. And that, like, to me, is concerning.
I'm not sure if they got worse throughout the tournament. I feel like they just got downloaded a bit by PSG. Like, the drafts were not great, I agree. But, like, moments like the game 2 dive top that lost the whole game, it's, like, nothing to do with draft. It's just individual play. Yeah. So, like, I don't know. It's hard to say. I feel like it's not a decision that I can really, like, justify for my position. You know, I don't see their scrims every day. I don't see the potential that these players might have. You know, like, maybe you watch their scrims and you can be like, their balling actually played really well in scrims and they have potential to do good things. You know, maybe they'll improve for next place. This was their first international for both of these players, right? So it's like, I don't know. I think Fly is just a very one-dimensional team. They play the same champs. They don't play like hard carries top. They don't play anything else than mages mid. Busio and Master's lane phase was really weak, so they can't play things like Kalista, Nico, or like these kind of champs against good teams, right? It's sort of a problem that teams like that and teams like FNAG will have when they play against good teams. They will not be able to play all the matchups. They blind pick Urgot. Like, this shit, I think, it just isn't that good, and it's very predictable, right? So obviously PSG will know exactly what FNAG is going to do at all parts of the game, even draft, right?
If that's the case, though, we also have like the Jensen interview where he's like, that team learned more than us, right? So like, for me, that's also an issue of like, what, like, if this is a team where you feel like it's one style and they got downloaded, like, what was going on in like the weeks they had over there? Like, is it something where you're getting smashed so hard like you feel like you can only play one style, or also like, where was the improvement that like we want to see throughout that? Like, I feel like other teams had more options than FlyQuest, and that is also like why I'm left frustrated here, because like, yeah, I'm with you. I feel like they got worse because PSG had better answers for what FlyQuest threw at them the first time. But where is the adaptation then? Like, if we're just going to go out and say, like, yeah, they learned more from us in a loss, and, like, don't bring up the fact you got crushed by T1 too, like, what's going on, you know? Yeah. It's really weird for me.
I think this is also the second time in, like, 2 months that Fly beats a team, like TL and not PSG, and then they come back and play against them again, and they lose because the other team adapts better than they do. For example, versus TL the first time, they played Renekton every game and they won every game. Then it was banned every game and they lost every game to TL. You know what I'm saying? It's a very obvious example. But like, you see what I'm saying? Like, they ran out of juice, perhaps. You know?
Yeah. They also played three champs they've never played before in the split and lost those three games against TL, which is like super random in that final too.
They didn't have an answer to like blind pick TF, for example. It was a GP. It seemed very unpracticed, for example. So maybe FlyQuest is a team that's a bit one-dimensional and limited in their style, you know? So when our team drafts well around it, it's just not good enough.
What you both see when you watch them? That they're do you feel like they're just sort of running the same one-dimensional style?
Yeah, because I can't explain why else Inspired always clears towards Bwipo. I really can't. Like, I don't think it fit the games at all.
I also think, like, PSG were playing these, like, let me just make sure I'm not wrong here when I pull this VOD up. They were playing, like, Senna, Nautilus, Azir type of team comps, and it's just so mega brain dead easy to play.
I don't get why you give that. Yeah. Like, my thing too in watching the first series is I felt like the PSG bot lane did not press advantages at all, and they kind of beat themselves by taking really aggressive bot lanes and not doing enough with it. It's like, giving Senna Nautilus for me, like, totally defeats the scouting report I have on that team, where it's like, we're going to give them the most brain dead bot lane to play. We're going to just like pretty much brute force a front to back. And we're doing that for Poke Varus Renata. Like that for me, like kind of has, like it's a good lane phase when we lane swap out of it. And then it's like, we don't have the on hit Varus with Renata buff later. It's kind of weird. Like I don't get, like for me, I feel like we figured out this past season that you cannot give Senna plus Nautilus together. Like that's just a broken combo. And then we give that Nazir and it just makes no sense for like Blinder God.
I mean, I don't know if it's broken, but it's like watching the game just be a slow, like even game. And then eventually they just outscale by doing nothing. Yes. It feels like it's too easy to give that kind of condition.
Yes.
I think the first game, from what I remember, FlyQuest ran it down, right? In the chicken
yeah,
fight.
Yeah, they
on
chased
topside.
The Nautilus.
They overchased when they had the advantage. And then they got like swept by Azir. I think I'm about to see it right now. Yeah.
No, you're correct.
And then the game was just behind from that point onwards. They lost Baron, and then it's just... I lost like two mid towers, and it was just over. And in game two, the top end disaster happens. Like, the games weren't that bad from what I'm watching. But also, like, they're behind for most of the game, playing against champs that outscale them. So, like...
Yeah, it's also like not their win con. Like they're playing a Poke Varus Hui, right? Like you don't, like the last thing you want to do is overchase in their side of the jungle. It's you, like what should happen is that you sit your ass in your vision, you force them to walk into you. So it's also like not understanding like what we're drafting, which is really weird.
Yeah, I will say though, FlyQuest did some good things. Like they lane swapped a lot this tournament and they usually came out ahead on the lane swaps, even against PSG in the first game. They were ahead in lane swap. Their top laner had like a 2-level advantage and they made the Nautilus TP top to cover the dive, which means then I can't farm souls without a support farm minions, right? So I think they did some good things to avoid their weaknesses, but that was kind of all they did.
Jensen and Blippo still play off each other well in sides, like they oftentimes are able to get picks. It's pretty consistent in their games. They did that here. It was good to see that international too.
To like wrap this whole thing up, I think making roster changes is just based on information that we don't have. So I feel like it's unjustified, and then who can you actually get to replace these players? They are good players, all of them, I think.
Yeah.
So it's like hard. What do you replace?
T-Bone, do you have any suggestions besides getting Jojopion somehow?
I mean, it really just depends there. Look, I'm Diamond 2, okay? I'm not like a high level analyst or anything.
I know, but if
just,
you're
like,
the most,
do the eye test.
You're suggesting, I only bring it up because if you want to say you want to blow up the roster.
Do you want like a clickbait? Like, we should get Chovy and Viper.
No. I just read like a legitimate, you know, like you could say Licorice, you know, if you wanted to. You could say Spica.
I mean,
I
think the only, I think Spica would be okay depending on what route they go. I just think that they need to actually like pick a style and stick with it, because I do, like, I've thought all year that like they're kind of just hands diffing because Jensen is better than most of the other mid laners in NA, and he just doesn't have any synergy with Inspired Blippo. And this is not a slight at either side of it. I just think that Blippo and Inspired see the game the same way, and Jensen does not see the game the same way. And that creates problems in game and not necessarily out of game. I think that people took the interview where Inspired called Jensen vegan. Like, I think people went way too hard with that. But I just think that they need to all be on the same page and get players with similar mindsets. I don't know if FlyQuest can go and try to pick up a LCK challenger, like mid laner who's insane. I don't know if they can get like Pulbay or whoever. I don't know what their solution would be. I think this is something for the coaching staff. I'm just looking at it from the sense of, I feel like they have to make changes after this. I feel like the changes are going to persist, and all it takes is for Immortals to get their shit together. All it takes is for Cloud9 to get their shit together.
Yeah, the Immortals thing I was confused by, but Cloud9, I guess.
And didn't Immortals just get a new coach?
Yeah, they did, but it's not like they're making major changes. I love Anero, but he's got three months to make Immortals change what they've been for the last.
But also, weren't Immortals like scrim gods or something? Or am I out of? Or am I?
No, you're right, and it's my impression that IMT is keeping the same roster. So.
I just think IMT is just an interesting place to go. I would have thought you were going to say like 100 Thieves or something, you know? So, all right, whatever. No. Either way, thank you so much, T-Bone, for the call. Anything you want to shout out here at the end?
Can I shout out TL Steve? I applied for a job at Team Liquid, social media coordinator. I would love if you could just give that application a little bit of extra looking. Thank you for having me on.
I think he's
appreciate
on a flight
it.
Right now, or he's just getting into China. But if he listens to the show, I'm sure he'll... He'll take a look.
I'm sure.
Also,
and he'll definitely hear
to be
this
clear,
and be like, wow, this is the guy
job.
For the job.
I just want to point
that's
out, you're
job.
Saying, like, I applied, and did you apply under T-Bone Leet?
I don't know if it's good to dox myself.
Well, I don't know either, but I don't know how you're shouting yourself out. My name is
Tom Andrews.
Okay.
I mean, that's the most basic name. Good luck getting that one doxed.
Yeah, the guy who built the Titanic had my name.
Wow. Oh, wow. Nice.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah. All right. Bye-bye.
Thanks. Have a good one. Bye-bye. Okay.
That's crazy. Same name as some of the built the Titanic.
All right. I think we're ready for the next caller.
Yeah. All right.
Thank you to Dasher777 and Magnarius for the subs over on Twitch. Thank you to everybody who does support the channel. It's really appreciated. We got Cubby grabbing the next caller. We got Sven hanging out here tonight for the shows. We're talking through things. We should get the next caller in here in just a second. But while we're waiting, I do want to say thank you again to everybody who decides to sub. If you want to find out if you have a Prime sub available over on Twitch, Twitch now like hides it as best as they can. They don't want people to use their Primes. If you hover over your screen or your cursor over the screen, the stream, you'll see a purple crown pop up. That'll let you know. Noril is here. Nori, is that your name?
Yeah, Nori.
Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Vancouver, BC.
Vancouver. I'm going to be there. Fun fact, I'm going to be there next week for Command Fest, magic thing. So if anybody's in the Vancouver area and wants to hang out, they can come catch me at Command Fest. But what do you want to talk about on the show?
So my take was that I think that TL versus Top Esports is probably the best stylistic matchup T1 or TL could get, which, and I think it could definitely be a win, but it's definitely on Yon's shoulders, given that Jakulev is like the only player on Top Esports that's playing to his like actual form right now. And then I wanted to get Zven's insight on how he feels like that bot lane matchup translates, because Umti had this take on, I think it's called like Secret Boardroom in LCK.
Yep, that's a great show.
Yeah, great show. But basically he said like in NA, they win a lot of 2v2 matchups very easily. And it makes their bot lane a really good point of pressure because they can just pull out like Zaya Rakan, I think was his example. But he's worried because he thinks he has a lot of fake data, or like as a team, moving into like international stage. I also think it'll be TL3-1, and I can talk more about why I think that, but I don't know.
Yeah, go ahead and say the TL3-1 bit here.
Okay. I think TL is by far our best macro team, and they are aware of like what they can and cannot do. Like they don't try and delude themselves with some of their potential weaknesses. Like they know APA is not the strongest in mid lane phase, so they will ban 3 mid laners in like phase 1. I will say Top Esports is my favorite LPL team, and I watch them a lot. And I think right now their form is really, really bad. And they make a lot of, well, they can make good macro decisions. They have this like consistency to slip up and just overcommit to one play and lose a massive amount of objectives. I think there was one game against BLG in playoffs where they gave a Nash because they had no wards. And then there was a game against FPX in regular season where they committed to Nash and then gave their entire base. I think that TL having lane swaps will be really good against Jakulev, because I think, again, he's their only strength relative to like their players. And I just think that their TL is a really disciplined and well-coached team. So if NA has a chance, it's like against, excuse me, an Eastern team, it's probably here, but yeah.
This is, you're saying that out of, and when you say Eastern, I assume you mean LPL, LCK.
Yeah.
Like, and I do think 369 is good, but I think it's fair to say that his form is not consistent to the level he's been showing. And I think it's also pretty fair to say that Impact will at least perform to a like respectable level.
So
I'm not saying
he's
going to win.
The copium you're giving us is like, okay, you know, of all of the possible matchups, not including Europe or PSG, like this was our best chance.
This is our chance. Okay. Yeah.
And you think it'll happen?
I think it will happen. I also thought FlyQuest would win the other day.
All right. You know. Well, yeah. I mean, I think such a lot of people did, so it's not too terrible. But yeah. You were so to get back to your main question here, you're asking Sven about the bot lane. So I guess first off, Sven, do you think that Top and TL might come down to the bot lane like Nori feels? And do you think that, and how do you think that matchup is going to go?
Okay, so I agree that Top is the only Eastern team, like LPL LCK team, that TL can beat. That's what I think.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think it's a good matchup stylistically. because TL's biggest strength in LCS, like I said, was Yon, Kojide. They could play all champions. They could play Kalista matchups. They could play Vaz matchups. So in playoffs, teams were banning champions against them on both sides or avoiding certain matchups, which gave TL a draft advantage against top esports, whose best players, at least performing best players, are Jackie, Love, and Meiku by far. It's going to be hard to win through that same playstyle. So I feel like TL is going to run into a wall when they can't win bot lane or they don't get any advantage in draft because the other AD carry is better than theirs, right? That's fair to say, I think. So I don't feel like it's a good stylistic matchup for TL, as they're like kind of like just the M team is kind of just their team, but better, if you want, if you will. Like 269 might not be playing very well right now, but he was the best top laner in the world at some point last year. And their bot lane is playing really, really well and really, really aggressive. And in a meta where like champs like I don't think that Koji J will play as well in like a Rumble and Nico meta with Kalista Varus type champions as Meiko will. And I'm afraid that Jackie Love is also better at champs like Lucian than Yon is. So I'm a little worried that TL can't win that 2v2. And then they don't play champions like Azir on top of this, or Orianna, I think. I don't remember APA playing Orianna. They banned it against Jensen every game. So I just don't see what stylistic advantage they actually have. But I do think that top esports is the worst of the big four.
Yeah.
Excuse me. So it's like, yeah, like TL can't beat LCK teams, I think. There's no way LCS can beat LCK. But the West can have a chance at cracking the LPL. But BLG is just too fucking good in lane phase and mechanically to beat. So it's come down to top esports.
Yeah.
So I agree they can beat top esports, but I don't think for the reasons that were mentioned. Yeah, that's my
what are the reasons you think they can beat them?
Just top's not a perfect team.
Yeah, that's literally like top was just making so many like unforced mistakes. Yes. Tien especially was just griefing straight up. And Jackie Love Meiko, like they would like stomp Max ball lane in lane and then they would dive them 2v2 and somehow end up in a 1v2 in the M team's favor. And I'm like, what the fuck? Like, how'd this happen? Also, this draft that top esports had against Fnatic, the game where they were playing Santana against Camille, was like actually unwinnable, you know?
Yeah. So,
and Kream also, but they just played bad mechanically, like top esports. Like, Kream was getting kind of like stomped by Humanoid in some of the games. Obviously, like, the level ones was like good for Humanoid and bad for their bot lane in that one game they played against Tsunami, for example. But yeah, I think top esports just makes a lot more mistakes, while teams like T1 are just too clean when they're ahead, which they will be. And Gen.G is just like, they're too like, they don't make mistakes, you know? And then they just outscale you and play better than you in team fights. These teams are too solid. They don't make any mistakes.
Yeah.
And BLG is like, they will just win early game and not fuck it up like TES does. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah.
I agree. Explain,
but yeah.
No, I'm with you. So my prediction is I have top esports 3-0. I think it will be a little bit closer, right, than what it sounds like. Because
you say 3-0, no, then you say it's going to be close.
No. There are such a thing as close 3-0s, okay? Tien's
I just
not
feel like
a
that's a cop-out, Kobe. You're just hedging.
It is.
You're just going to say 3-0, just fucking say 3-0.
Hang on. It is. But it's because I think Jackie Love's actually just on another level, like coming into this tournament. Like, this guy, I think he's actually ridiculous. And him and Meiko, like, these guys lane really, really well. The area where I think TL like can win / find advantages is this is not a perfect team. And the way they're not perfect is that Tien, he is going to take risk. And that's part of what makes Tien at times very good. But also sometimes he walks into the enemy jungler when neither of his solo lanes have prio on topside, and then he dies for free, right? And it's very puzzling to me, but that happens. We did see that against Fnatic. The way the top plays, it does involve risk. They're really good. But like kind of like what Sven's saying, this is the team that is the most beatable out of the four like Eastern teams that are coming here. Fully agree. And it's because the top, they play with an inherent amount of risk that is higher than other teams. That said, I still think that Kareem and Jackie Love get them over the line. Like I think Jackie Love and Maker just on
a
little
If they're level. This like, sloppy, really Cubby, shouldn't they at least drop one game?
No, because Jackie Love exists. That's why I think it's a 3-0.
Okay. You'll just cover their asses for any kind of fuck up.
No, I think Jackie Love gets him over the line. So.
All right. So you say 3-0, but Sven, you think TL can beat top. So what would you predict?
It's like the word can is
doing it's kind of
like it's like that meme, like you're saying there's a chance.
Yeah.
Like, there is, but we're talking like a 50% chance to win like the series, you know?
Yeah.
Which I think is generous, to be honest, but like I also don't know what happened in this boot camp. Like maybe TL actually had really good scrim partners because they have Korean players and staff, and maybe they just have contacts from, you know, Coach J and stuff. Like, I don't know.
That's
maybe
true.
Maybe had the best boot camp ever. They
yeah.
went, I remember they went early this year. Like APA was already in Korea with John.
Yeah, they were in, the whole team went to Korea, I think.
Yeah, and they played a shit ton of games. I saw them on the streams, and like maybe they just leveled up during this boot camp and they're actually just gonna be super fucking good. And they also have the advantage that they have watched top esports play. Sure, top esports gets to like be on the stage a little bit and get warmed up, if so to speak, right? But TL gets to watch like what, 4 games from top esports or 5 actually? They played
5. Yeah.
5, yeah, they played 5 games. So like if they make a good draft out of this, they can get out of the gate in the first game and actually just win off that alone, right?
Yeah.
They have more information on their opponents than top. They had like also on that note, like the finals of LCS was the first finals to be played, right?
Yes.
Of all the splits. So TL's last game for like 2 months ago. Well, all top's games are both on recent patches and they're much more recent as well. So if TL did some good research, they can maybe like find some sort of like a level 1 play or a good lane swap scenario they can play through. Like, you know what I'm saying? So there's a chance for TL to do something with that advantage that they've gotten from the format and such. So I think there's a chance, yeah. And I think TL can take at least 1 game. I guess
so
I might
say
be wrong. They just could run over, like, who knows?
Going off
that,
being
3-1 top, yeah.
I do think that one thing that Fnatic has been doing consistently that I feel like TL can try and emulate is Fnatic's taking a lot of solo lane pairings that can, like, really attack sides quickly. Like, they're pairing Camille LeBlanc, TF Talia, even, like, the Zach Talia draft that was bad. I think that they almost, like, I think that said a lot to me about Fnatic because I didn't like that draft, but they defaulted to Zach because Zach has the ability to, like, really be able to deploy faster into sides. Like, that's something that they use to beat top and, like, really catch them off guard and almost cheat timers that exist. And I'm wondering if, like, that ends up being a thing. I think that Impact, like, I haven't seen him play in a while, but I have a lot of faith in Impact to try and be able to play, like, that style. I feel like he's never really gotten enough credit for playing, you know, not the tanks, where I feel like he's still fine. And that is something that Fnatic, again, used to beat top. Like, they did lay out a format where they were at least able to get some sort of advantage and go up against it. And I'm wondering if we see, like, TL adopt that. Because I feel like attack, like, there are a lot of champs in the meta right now that can deploy in the sides and attack sides really easily. And I think it's one thing that top did not respect well enough against Fnatic. And they really did catch them off guard.
Yeah, I agree. I think that the aggressive style that Fnatic plays, and their mid jungle especially, like, making a lot of things happen, is much better against team like top than what TL is. TL has been like, they're boss aggressive, but their mid and top play mostly like
the catch,
scaling, tank, team fighting champions. Usually is their style, right? It sounds like pick Talia, Azol, or what's the other champ that APA plays? I'm forgetting about
Ziggs.
Yeah, Ziggs, exactly. Yeah. And then play that with like Rell, and they play like this team fight style. While top esports is a lot more aggressive in all their roles in mid jungle, so I'm a little bit afraid that TL might not be able to match the pace that top plays. 4 really aggressive players, while TL is more like 2, sometimes 3 with empty. So I think Fnatic styles is better against top esports than TL's, but if TL can somehow survive the early game and play something that scales a little bit better in mid and jungle, then perhaps they just win off that as well.
I will say that one thing I'm actually really hoping to see tonight is that there's rumors right now that Galio is like a triple flex between top, mid, and support. And I think that champ could be really, really good for TL. I know that APA plays it well. Back when top Galio was a thing, Impact was very good at it. And like you can set up a lot of comps where you can attack and play really fast. I feel like it could be a decent pick, especially like into Kareem, who, if you can bait him into taking something like Akali, like something that Kareem really does enjoy, like that is one way where I feel like they might be able to find some sort of advantage.
I feel like Galio is good mid, but
yeah,
I can't see Galio top being good against bruisers. I feel like he doesn't have enough damage, like Aatrox or Kassante.
Yeah.
And then for support, I feel like it's just too weak in lane to justify the flex pick value.
You can lane swap it. And in lane swaps, it is actually quite a bit of value. Because like level 1, you have options as Galio what to level. Like deploy defense.
Yeah.
Or offense. Yeah.
That is true, yeah. But then what if you don't get your swap off or something?
Oh,
like
you're
this?
Fine.
It's like,
it's fine. Yeah.
And then what are you getting? You like a mid kind of pick in this meta where like people's handshake like mages like Talia, Seer matchup?
Yeah.
I see it, but I think I think the West playing stuff like Camille Gallio that might be weak in lane, that has like a quote unquote easy win condition, could be good if they can get away with it in lane first. Like, I think what the Camille against Top Esports was really good because the lane is fine and it was just so good in that game. So easy to play as well. It's a champ that can make it can catch people off guard. Like a team like Top Esports that makes quote unquote a lot of mistakes will get caught off guard by Camille because it's really easy to catch people with that champ. So I think that's not a bad champ, but Gallio, I'm not sure.
Sensible in chat says that CoreJJ has been spamming Gallio support, and they were so excited about it, they put it all in cap letters. But, I mean, that would seem to suggest that it's at least on the table, so we'll see.
Yeah, I hope so.
Yeah. Nori, thank you so much for the call. Do you think we addressed all your thoughts here?
Yeah, I mean, I know the take was pretty cope, but after FlyQuest did that performance, I thought it'd be nice to at least, you know...
No, I agree. I agree. And you know what? I'm going to go with you. I'm going to say TL3-2 tonight. Just because...
I hope you're right, Travis.
I'm happy. I'll take the 15% bet. You know, like, the payout there is pretty good. So, those are good odds. Nori, thank you so much for the call. And we'll... Anything you want to shout out really quickly at the end here?
Yeah, I wanted to shout out Team Liquid. They just released a piece on CoreJJ. It was like a little documentary. It's really good. I think people should watch it. And then also shout out to Dignitas for hiring me as an unpaid intern and also signing Licorice.
Oh. You're a content intern?
Yeah.
At Dig, congratulations on the job. Congrats. Well, we've got all sorts of people looking for esports jobs or taking esports jobs on the show tonight. Thank you so much for the call and catch you next time.
Yeah, thank you so much. Bye.
So I don't know. Does anybody know what IDR is? It's a currency, and Warspite over on YouTube just dropped 30,000 IDR. And I don't know if that's a lot of money or if it's not, but I do appreciate it. Warspite
like YouTube bits.
No. It's
what's an unpaid intern? Sorry.
What is an unpaid intern?
Like working for free?
Yeah.
Yes.
Like bro.
It's like college kids take it for the resume builders, you know.
Did the caller say that they? I heard intern. Did they say they're unpaid?
Is it like Dignitas Mousepads all over again, or what?
It is. I mean, that would be exactly
if
what
they're lucky.
Yeah.
It's about $2.50 according to the chat.
$2.50. Okay, 30,000 IDR sounds like a lot, but I guess it's. But it's very much appreciated, Warspite. Thank you.
Yeah.
All right. Let's move on to the next caller. We got. Speaking of support, thank you Fidge TV for the Prime, Mind Turtle for the Prime, Big Angry Hobo for 71 months, Lit Drummer Boy for the 45 months, AN for the $5, and then Warspite for the 30,000 IDR. Really appreciate it. All right, we got Green here. Green, where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Baltimore, Maryland.
Baltimore, Maryland. What do you want to talk about on the show?
So I want to bounce off of Sven's viral take on Reddit, where he says NA is going to suck at Worlds forever. While the NA pros, I mean, no, he didn't say that word for word.
His viral take, which I will now put into his mouth.
I'm trying to exaggerate for you, Sven.
Okay, my bad. Go on.
He said that NA is going to suck internationally because NA pros rarely play solo queue at a high level, and while the top of the ladder in the region is full of one tricks and streamers, and people are constantly dodging, and the queue times are 40 minutes.
Wait. So let me. I'm gonna play the clip, but I want to tell everybody that it has. It says headphone users warning. So if you for everyone,
don't play this.
It's pretty warranted at the start.
Everyone who's aware, just know that it's gonna, you know, adjust your volume accordingly. This is your warning. Here we go.
Does that for me?
Spend, you won't be able to hear.
Does that for me? Oink, 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 oink
in this clip, what just happened was
Sejuani got buffed this patch.
Sven had been in queue for 24 minutes, and then there's a dodger, and you stand up and start screaming oink.
Girls, FlyQuest is a joke. People are pigs, man.
Okay,
that's
here
why I say oink.
I'm gonna finish playing the clip because there's another 20 seconds or so.
Jesus. Okay. We can't win Worlds. FlyQuest is a joke because of us. I can hear myself in the head. How can we ever win Worlds, bro? I spent the whole day in queue. Meanwhile, 15-year-old Korean players played 10 games in an hour. Oh, we can't win, man. It's so fucked.
You're so dejected on this. I didn't realize that the visuals would be so good.
Otherwise, and then the worst part is like when I finally do get into a game, I'm playing against like Teemo mid.
I'm playing against Teemo mid when I finally find a game.
Man.
Okay. So, back to the caller. Now that we've gotten Sven's story, he says we can't win Worlds and FlyQuest sucks because of us. Were both statements that were said. But go ahead and finish your thought, Green.
I think that when I watch ELO players stream, which, like, to be fair, I work from home, so that's most of the day for me. I rarely ever see pro players in the games. It's like maybe 1 out of 10. And when I do, it's literally the same, like, 6 players. It's Sven, Tomo, Isles, Pobelter, who's not playing competitively anymore. Sometimes Dokla, sometimes Blabber. It's like the list is short. Okay. We have 8 teams with 5 players each, and I see maximum 2 pro players per game. I think that NA pros don't play enough solo queue at the high levels. And I think that the streamers and the one tricks who do spam the game are the ones who sit at the top of the ladder. And NA is never going to do well because of that.
So you're saying we just need pro players to play more is essentially the thesis here.
Yes. All right. Yes.
Sven, okay. First off, you've been playing a ton lately. How is Green correct that there's only about 8 or 9 players that are really trying to push a ton?
I mean, so first of all, this clip is taken in the off season, right, of MSI. Probably the worst time to, you know, make this take that I made on the video. I was just tilted because I was in queue for like 45 minutes with the dodge and all that. So obviously, teams like C9 are in Korea, TL, Fly aren't here, and some teams, I think Shopify is in Korea from what I understand, besides Sazel, that's what I heard. And 100 Thieves were on a boot camp as well in Korea. Yeah, so like,
I think they just went over.
That's over half the teams, you know, in Korea. Sure, I also think, you know, I came here about 3-4 weeks before LCS finished, and I just don't feel like I see a lot of pro players in my games where if you pull up to a Korean solo queue game at the same LP that I am at now, you will play against pros, ex-pros, aspiring pros, challengers, every game. So like, I do agree that it just feels like the ladder isn't as competitive and you spend a lot of time in queue, whereas in Korea, like, you can press play again and you're in champ select in like a minute. And then you're in a new game within like 5 minutes of play. And the games from like midnight to like 4 a.m. are like stacked as fuck with only LCK players, only serious bootcampers, pro players, and it's just like the quality of games is like mind-blowingly good. It's like if you're like 1,000 LP plus and you're playing midnight to 4 a.m. games, you're playing games that are better than your scrims. I'm not even kidding. And people really care about like rank 1 in Korea during the good times. Sure, early season is not that important, early splits, whatever, but like when people are actually trying, it's fucking insane. So I think my take is right. I also want to say, like, I saw the Reddit post, someone linked it to me, and I was reading some comment about how, like, I didn't play Champs Q in 2023. I played 10 games with a low win rate. Like, bro, I won the first Champions Q split, the most competitive split that was played of Champs Q. And people upvote that shit. It's so frustrating. That's why I don't use Reddit in the first place, because people are so, like, they post their takes like it's the fucking truth.
Yes, I know.
And then people upvoted like it's, you know, I'm like, what the fuck?
Dude,
why
I know.
Why this bullshit? Okay, so that's just that.
No, this is an aside. I really relate to that because there's so many times where I'm in Reddit and people, you'll just read a statement that is just completely non-factual about you. It'll be like,
that happened to me. I bullied a mom and a daughter, according to Reddit, at LCS finals. I was wow.
No, people just post shit.
It was crazy.
Yeah.
So with that said, like my take is just that solo queue NA just sucks for a lot of reasons. And some of the reasons we can't do anything about, like the player base being smaller or the fact that half the player base in a different time zone. So at like midnight LA time, game's unplayable because half the player base is, you know, on a 3 a.m. time zone. That's like just what it is, right? But we can do what we can, like the pros can do what they can to play, but also tier 2 NA is dying. It's just all these things make the solo queue practice so much worse, and then we scrim 5 games a day, and there's just no way we can compete, you know, with people that scrim 6 to 8 games a day, and their server is like mega competitive. They can scrim both China and Korea together. Like, it's just not, there's no chance for us, you know. We gotta do something about it. And then this Champs Queue thing was just pissing me off, because like in 2023, Champs Queue was already dead. It moved to like this online drafting tool, which was terrible. There was way too many like college players and like LAN team subs who only muted every game and couldn't speak English in the games. It was like not worth playing at all. So I stopped playing it too, right? At that point, it's not worth it anymore. So like, yeah, I didn't play that. But at that point, it was already too late. It died in like late 22. After Worlds, people weren't even playing Champs Queue at Worlds when like Korean LCK players and Chinese players were playing it. Then no hope, you know?
So, I mean, okay. Because, okay, setting aside the misinformation about how much Champions Queue you played, Sven, yes, how much of this is on the North American pros and aspiring pros and, like, high-level competitive community? Because, one, you know, like, you mentioned the Champs Queue environment was not good. You had to play against some collegiate pros. You had to play against people that would mute. Is this not better than, like, queuing for 24 minutes and then getting a dodge, or queuing and then dealing with a Teemo or something like that?
Yeah, I think so. But I also think that Champs Queue has the downside that, like, you can have really fucking good players playing as really fucking bad players in solo queue too. But in Champs Queue, they take it really fucking serious. So if you have, like, let's say you have Berserker and Vulcan bot lane, and the enemy team has Timmy Turner and Bob the Builder in bot lane speaking a different language, you can't win. Then the game feels really trash to play. Because in solo queue, at least, you know, that bot lane might not be the same team because the elo is more balanced. Or maybe they will just throw because they aren't playing super serious to win. They're playing like different champs. But in Champs Queue, you play only OP champs that are in the meta to try out to win, right? Like, it's a lot more demoralizing when one guy is just curb stomped in competitive play than in solo queue. Because in solo queue, people throw, you can like, you can win. So it's like sitting in queue for a long time to have like a LAN team substitute play against fucking someone who's good in top lane. I don't know who's good in top lane. ASX top lane. Whatever, right? Dokla.
Sorry,
a Dokla, yeah. It happens in my games in solo queue too. Like, I have Dokla against some random guy in Grandmaster. My top lane goes 10-0. The game is still losable because, you know, maybe my mid laner is getting stomped or something, right? It's uncoordinated play. But in competitive, like, Champs Queue games, it's just like a monster stomp and you just FF for 50 minutes. Oh, back to queue time, you know? It's just, it feels worse in that sense, so to speak.
But, I mean,
yeah, I don't know.
I'm not actually playing solo queue. I peaked GM at one point. It's on everyone to compete.
Yeah.
And if, I mean, I will shout out, like, I'm looking at the solo queue leaderboard right now. Like, there are a lot of people that are on here who are competing, and most of them are not current pros, you know? Like, I see a lot of players that I know as aspiring pros. I know as people that are in my league, NACL, a couple of collegiate players as well. Shout out to both Shogo and Rhino, who are competing in CLOL and like are both top 25 on the ladder. It's on everyone to go out there and compete. And I will say that with CQ, while like, I respect like a lot of Sven's, you know, reasons for not wanting to queue, I know that that was shared with a lot of players, but you also have to, like, it is on everyone to go out there and sign up to compete. And we can actually like try to compete to be better. And I feel like in NA, like, I mean, it's not the best time to look at the ladder, because as Sven said, like, a lot of the pros are, you know, missing. And so, but like, I don't think they've dropped LP yet if they are missing at the moment. As like they haven't decayed, they're over in Korea. Like, good for them for going over there and competing in a environment where it is better to compete. But like, yeah, I always felt that league, you have to build it from the bottom up, because if you're gonna build like a competitive pipeline, you have to start at the bottom and not the top, and it has to be good enough where everyone is able to compete together and continue to improve. And if like that's not happening, then it's not happening. And I think that the ladder has always been an issue here in NA. I can scroll through. I see a lot of names here at the top of solo queue, and props to them for putting a lot of games in and trying to compete. But There are also a lot of players that will make any and every excuse to not go out there and compete day in and day out. And you know what? Those are the players in the long run, they fall behind. So I feel like an offseason, like, this is your time to go close the gap. I think Korean boot camps are great. You're going to go play in the best practice environment possible to try and close the gap. But if you're sitting at home and not playing 16 hours a day like Sven is here, and you're trying to compete, you're going to fall behind. And that's how it is, you know? And if enough people sign up for that, then it affects everyone. Like, you need people. Like, iron sharpens iron. You need people to go out there and compete day in and day out to get better yourself. Like, you can hear Sven sitting here. He is listing off names to go out there and compete and make the games better. If we don't have enough people like that, then everyone's going to suffer. And that can be hard. And I feel like that's an issue that we've always faced in the ladder. And I will say that the hollowing out of the systems below LCS, it defeats the bottom-up build and the purpose that I feel like, you know, you need to have if everyone's going to be able to be strong and compete. And there are a lot of players that I'm talking to right now where they feel like this is their last split to try and make it and go pro, or else they're done. That's going to be another wave of talent that we're not going to have on the ladder. And so it's like, who takes the place there, right? Probably people that are going to have to catch up and close the gap. And if you don't do that fast enough, then damn, we'll have to see. Like, it's really hard.
So a couple of things here. I don't normally do this, but I do want to just like open up some reactions to some Twitch chat stuff. First time chatter, Lizard says, the fundamental problem is that in Eastern leagues, people want to be like Faker or The Shy or Canyon. And in North America, people want to be Cutie Pie. It's always been like this. I don't know if I necessarily agree with that. I mean, I know for a long time there was this kind of like meme of, oh, you know, everybody just wants to be a streamer in North America. They want to be whatever in North America. I don't, like, Sven, do you think that that's true? That there's just all these high elo players that are like, nah, dude, I just want to be up here so that I can like stream and make a ton of money?
I think that part I don't agree with, but the first part that people in Korea want to be like Faker is definitely true. Like, when I was in Korea, I was watching LCK while I'm playing solo queue, right? It starts at like 5 p.m. And if Kyria locks in Ornn with Senna, my support in the very same game I'm playing in, that next game, will be hovering Ornn and saying, ADC, can Senna? You know, asking me to play Senna for him so you can play Ornn like Kyria. Like, people want to be like the LCK pros. That is true. And like, you go to the bus stop, I see fucking Chovy's face on the bus sign. I'm like, what the fuck? You know what I'm saying? You go to T1's facility for a tour for content with C9, and I see 50 girls outside T1's facility for Kyria's birthday. Like, these people are like, they're superstars in Korea. So obviously, like, their tier 2 system and their challenger system, academy, whatever they call it, rookies, some teams call it, and it's better because there's a huge incentive to be a pro player in those regions. Meanwhile, our tier 2 has slowly gotten worse and worse over the years. I'm sure Cubby can agree. And this is like gonna be a big problem because this, like, the Masus, the Busios, the Meeches, the Yawns, the APAs, it's gonna be like the last wave of NA pros that we're gonna get, right? And some of these players are very liked, and you know, AP and Yawn won LCS in their second split, I think, together.
Second, third, yeah.
Yeah, for APA second and Yawn third. So like, it's a shame that like we're hindering our own tier two.
Thank you so much for saying this, man, because like it drives me crazy. We did an episode of Hotline League 2 weeks ago, I think, where we talked a lot about the problems that are happening in tier two with players just giving up and all this stuff. And a lot of the comments were less like, oh, I can't watch Hotline League anymore. They just talk about tier two too much or whatever. No one cares about tier two. And it's like very disheartening for me because I feel as though, you know, one, I don't think we talk about tier two very much at all on the show. In fact, it's a meme. But two, it's aggravating because people don't understand that like that is the foundation for the league. And with that basically being in shambles, like it's just, you know, that I think might be the biggest, you know, when people want to talk about LCS is going to die or LCS is dying or whatever, I truly think that is what is the biggest threat to the existence of the league long term right now.
It is. So. I've always said that the way that you are able to emulate the culture that you have in Korea and China is you have to put this game in every high school across the country. Like, that's the only way you can actually.
All right, Cubby, we're going off in a different direction now. Yeah. We're
base.
No, it's still bottom up build. It is still bottom up build. Like, that's how you start there, then you get college, you get tier two, and then you get LCS.
I'm not saying you're wrong. I just know you always go on this platform, and we're venturing into the tier two section. We're not heading into tier three yet.
That is how this works, though.
That is unfathomably based, copy.
Yes.
I feel like we went on a big tangent here, and we haven't even talked about the guys who came in here with his take.
Green's take was that was about your take, though, Sven. That's what we're talking about.
Oh, right. Yeah. Okay, yeah, we're back. Shit, bro. I was like completely like...
No, it happens on Hotline League all the time. It is fun.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
But, yeah, I mean, I just... I don't know how to solve it. Sven, how would you solve it? What do you think?
I mean, okay, I'm not going to pretend I know shit about, like, business and, like, how profitable DLCS is or isn't, or, like, how Tier 2 is not watched by people and therefore isn't profitable. Like, I'm not going to pretend I know anything about this. I can only tell you the problem is that the league isn't going to be more interesting by import. It's like, look at LSC, right? They're importing these, like, HH, what's his name? Something to SC Gaming.
Rahel and HH. From
yeah, now Rahel I know, yeah. But yeah. The other guy, like, who? They have, like, huge ERLs that, like, people are hyped already to watch this guy, Kalista, next year in KC, probably,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
No one gives a fuck about this guy, HH, SKHH. Who? You know what I'm saying? And, like, we're going to go that path soon as well. We're going to get random people from random regions, probably Korean challengers.
Yes!
And our league will just be unrecognizable at some point. And not to mention that Korean players don't even do that well in NA, I feel like. For every Berserker, every Koji J, every Impact you get someone that's very mediocre who doesn't do very well. And then not to mention that the best teams NA has ever had, like C9's best team was full American, if I'm not mistaken. I guess with Jensen, who's at this point he should be American, I guess. And like EU's best team ever was a 5 European team, right? Both Fnatic and G2, 2019 and 18. I just don't think it's the way to go. I guess like we do have some talent in both EU and NA that can actually, you know, do something if you give them the right tools. So if FR22 dies completely, it's just gonna be like no more Masters, Buzios, Yawns, APAs, and yeah, that's sad. You know that APA a year ago wasn't even in the LCS, yep. And in a year from now he wouldn't even be given the chance to play because his league wouldn't exist anymore. Who knows?
We didn't talk about in that episode a couple of weeks ago, but you kind of touched on here, Sven, is like, I get frustrated because I think a lot of, like, the LCS and a lot of the team owners decided, like, oh, we aren't going to support Tier 2. But what they're really doing is just outsourcing LCS development to the Korean teams. Like just have the LCK teams support their Tier 2 system, and then we'll just take talent from that. And it's it's crazy. I feel like Riot Global should care about this because, like, if teams and regions feel like they don't need to run Tier 2 anymore because they could just tap into other regions' Tier 2s, like, what are we doing? That seems very unhealthy.
Can I go? I want to say on that thing you said about the Koreans, like, we will never get Korean imports that are better than, like, the Pace and the Gumayusis, you know? So you will just be importing players they don't want anyways, because I'm almost guaranteeing you that all challenger players in Korea would rather play LCK than LCS if they could choose. Most likely. At this point, the pay isn't even different, I think, honestly, you know? So all you're gonna get is someone who's worse than their first choice of challenger to LCK. So why not just take a rookie from Academy? He could be good, you know, who knows?
Yeah. I know when EG got JoJo, right? And like this for me is the metric of which Tier 2 should be judged off of. Because I know, like Sven, like you mentioned, like viewership and support directly. Like, I mean, obviously you need things to make money to work. Riot has made sure that everything is break even. With their leagues across the world. We've seen a narrowing of that. But from a team perspective, when JoJo was promoted into EG, they were between JoJo or Humanoid. The difference of that contract would have practically paid for their academy team for the upcoming year. That is the metric of success that these teams, like, that's why we should be investing into Tier 2. So it can be a cost-saving measure, like, when things were really big. Now, it's also you are getting a direct chance to mold success. You get to see these players act like pros when they were out in LA, live the full schedule, do everything a pro does just at a secondary level. Like, that is the ideal way to find the talent you want to work with. And you were 100% right that if you were importing, you were getting second pickings. Lucid is not coming to NA, right? He's playing for D+. Like, that's always going to happen. The fact that Thanatos is even coming here, I find fucking crazy. Like, that is, like, I mean, that is a steal, right? But it's very, that still is, like, he's rejected from the system, right? And the fact that, like, this is happening and we are just nuking the tier twos and we're just going to take the leftovers elsewhere, where, like, you also are not even factoring the culture gap, the fact you have to learn a different language when you come over here. Like, League is a team game. This is, like, another battle that you're going to have to face when you are taking players that are being rejected by their own system, when you can just build up your own and have players that don't have to fight that either. Like, it blows my mind that teams just gave up on this, because I feel like it is a huge competitive advantage. Like, it was not brought up with FlyQuest. Like, no one is talking about the changes being made with FlyQuest. Like, they have a Challengers team that was number one and was quite good, you know? I feel like, in past seasons, like, we saw C9 make changes with their Challengers teams. We saw teams make changes with their Challengers teams. That's how TL was actually able to function as a team. That's how this roster kind of came to be. They promoted players internally and then put pieces around them as well. This is the rest of the teams giving up on this is crazy to me. I feel like it just shows a lack of investment and a lack of faith in themselves. The fact that they just quit on this project. I find it ballistic.
All right. We've gone too far down the tier two path. Yeah. We're going to get more people who can't tune into Hotline League because that's all we ever talk about. I blame Zven. Of all people...
We are back.
Yeah, no, you're good. Of all people, Zven comes on the show and goes, yeah, fuck imports. We need more North American talent. Let's talk about tier two.
Bring this up, you know? Yeah, so it's... it's all good. Anyway.
Green, unfortunately, Zven left, so he won't be able to rebuttal. But anything you want to add here at the end?
Yeah, I saw people in chat saying, like, I forgot there was a caller. Secretly, I wanted this conversation to go that direction, and I'm really glad it did. I have very strong opinions on this, too, actually, that I think that Riot's also partly responsible for the popularity of League as a game in North America. And that's a big reason why the region and the solo queue ladder is the way that it is. Like, I'll be the first to admit that I don't play ranked because I have anxiety. That's just how it is. But, like, a lot of gamers in North America just don't play League. And I think that if Riot could do something to make it more popular, even from the LOL esports side, like, making their players more well known, that could do a lot to make the scene more popular.
So with respect, I do think that it's a bit of a I think a lot of people say a lot of people in North America don't play League without having a good understanding of, like, what the actual player base is. Like, League is actually really still popular in North America.
I
do know that. I studied games, so I'm aware of those, like, metrics, but comparatively, like, the region is unpopular. It's unpopular in the region. But I understand what you're saying. You're right.
Yeah, I mean, we have a smaller player base because we have half the population, but, yeah.
It's just, like, this game's too complicated to pitch to a 14, 15, 16-year-old. Like, they're going to go with so many other options first now, you know?
Well, that's why they can't put it in every high school in America. Green, anything you want to shout out here at the end?
I'll shout myself out. I'm an artist and I have a website that can I drop it in the chat?
Sure. Loud, Travis? Yeah. I mean, the URL will get kicked, but you can just tell people what it is.
Okay. Just always looking for a new commission, so I'll drop it in the chat. Thanks so much. Appreciate it.
Nice. Have a good one. All right. On to the next caller. We got two more callers to go tonight. And we got some new support. Thank you, Space Uwu Cowboy, over on YouTube for becoming a member. By the way, just to mention, if you are interested in seeing content early, getting Hotline League early before I have time to make a thumbnail and do all that stuff, or before Jordan does, all that stuff, you can become a member over on YouTube for as low as $2.99 a month, and doing so helps the channel. And there's some cool benefits for that. So, yeah, thank you to Space Uwu Cowboy for becoming a member over on YouTube. We got Tatami Galaxy here. Tatami Galaxy, where are you calling from?
Hey, what's up? I'm in Virginia by way of North Carolina.
Very good. And what do you want to talk about on the show?
Yeah, so I kind of wanted to have a FlyQuest take that was a little bit of a different angle, not necessarily focused on like the roster or, you know, kind of their MSI, but more of like a positive take about the negativity around FlyQuest. So like my take is that the combination of FlyQuest kind of like bustering out of the bracket and all the drama surrounding them, like kind of led by the WIPO and inspired kind of abrasive personalities, may actually be a good thing for engagement. And I'll kind of explain why I feel that way. I think having like a villain team like FlyQuest may be the first step to kind of bring back some rivalries and some engagement around not only rooting for, but against teams as well, which is something I think the league hasn't had in kind of like a post-legacy org, post-TSMCLG era. And I feel this way because I feel like there's a lot of focus on like how do we drive fan engagement to certain players, but I feel like also another way is to drive fan engagement against certain players and teams. And having a team that kind of like upsets people and ruffles feathers instead of just kind of a group of milquetoast kind of like middling teams that we have now may make you want to actually watch games more. I know for me personally, I've been a C9 fan for a long time, and I remember back in the day, you know, if there was a C9 TSM game, you know, I would always tune into that game because it was a rivalry that I cared about, and I would want to root against TSM actively. And I feel like for like probably 4 or 5 years now, I haven't really felt that way against many teams. And I feel like this spring season, with kind of a lot of the drama around FlyQuest, has kind of like reignited that passion a little bit for me personally. And I have a feeling that other people may kind of feel the same. And yeah, I just feel like FlyQuest kind of having this like Icarian sort of into spring and MSI may actually kind of add to that villain aura around them in a way. So that's kind of the premise of my take.
So I want to provide some context. This is a take that I pulled. I don't normally pull takes.
Yeah.
But I opened the subtopics chat, and I noticed that Tatami Galaxy had memed about Cubby essentially rejecting this take. Cubby just replied to the take that Tatami put in and wrote, "That's crazy." So I want to hear... And so that's fun for me now, because I want to hear Cubby, why do you think this take is crazy?
It was... Okay, so the way that it was written, because I have to go back, is like... It's not the worst thing for domestic engagement. Because, I mean, first off, like, I mean, social media is meant, like, it's built to hate and promote hate, you know? So if we get to start hating on people, then yeah, we do get to hop in. But it also mentioned TS games and rooting against them and hate watching TSM, which I have to admit, I might have fully participated in as well. So I do kind of, like, I kind of get this, but also, yeah. I mean, hate watching is powerful, man. I got to say.
Yeah, when they had that... when TSM had that bot lane that had Mythy and the other person, I forget who, like, I just fucking hated guys, that man. Roster.
He used to go by, like, Niels or whatever. I don't know.
Fuck those guys, man.
Yeah.
100%.
That was crazy.
But Cubby, you're saying you think it's crazy because you just are not a fan of, like, negative domestic engagement or what?
I mean, like, the bustering out of brackets and drama surrounding him isn't the worst thing for engagement. I was like, I mean, I'd prefer to win and have that also boost engagement. So I was like, I feel like winning and getting to play more on a bigger stage against better teams is always better.
No, but okay, but so let's say, to the caller's point, let's say fucking we sent Shopify somehow as the second team. You know, they don't have much of a brand. People don't know much about their players. And then they just like busted out. You know, some crazy thing led them to get there. I agree with this take that it is like better that FlyQuest has talked so much shit and been like, you know, had so much drama around them that then they go and they bust her out. Like, I actually think that the caller's take there is reasonable, that like this team is becoming a controversial one, which is hilarious because FlyQuest's brand forever has been like, know, that we're the friendly, happy people. And I do think
friendly,
that like
happy people,
they have become definitely not TSM levels of
no.
stuff, but they have become sort of the villains of the league. And I think that's cool.
I think, you know, we can go down the politics rabbit hole where it's like, at least you have an opinion, you know,
True.
Everyone has an opinion about FlyQuest.
Yes.
That's valuable. You know,
But it's not just an opinion. I think a lot of people like to watch, you know, when they come back here, when they come back, I think it will be good for the league that there's a team that people, that many people, not all people, but many people will be actively rooting against, you know, like I think people will not want FlyQuest to go to Worlds because of what happened here and because of the personalities on the team.
I mean, I can't root against FlyQuest. I can't root against them, but
yeah,
if some people,
conflicts of interest, but yeah.
Yeah, you know, ignoring that, you know, I can't. If people want to hate watch this team, then sure, go for it. You know, it be what it do. But I don't know. It's a weird one. I'd rather root for, you know, Masu, who.
Sure. And by the way, I'm not saying everyone needs to hate watch them. Like, I'm not going to be rooting against FlyQuest. It's like they create, like, for me, great
also,
content. You know, like if I could get Whippo to say something about how Busio smells, like that's a video that's going to pop off. So I need them to do well. But I'm saying it's not like the league has been missing like rivalries and villains. And I think, by the way, that TL and FlyQuest is starting to have that, because even down to the interview after TL won, where they were basically like, yeah, fuck those guys, like that. I love that. And I hope it continues to develop.
That was pretty badass from TL. That interview was, see, like that's the kind of stuff though, like I'm a fan of, like, they earned the right to talk, and they shut up until they earned the right to talk, and then they sat them down. Like, I can root for that. Like, I find that funny, you know? But, yeah.
Sven,
that was actually one of the things I was going to add to the take, was that I feel like in the past, a lot of the rivalries that have tried to be built over the last few years haven't really been organic from the player side of things. Like, there'll be an interview with Travis, and you'll kind of ask about how a team feels about playing a certain other team. And it seems like for a long time now, the players' response has been like, well, you know, we don't really see it that way. Like, you know, we don't really feel a rivalry with them, even if fans may have felt that way. Whereas I feel like now the FlyQuest aura is becoming a lot more organic. It doesn't feel forced. And I feel like players are kind of buying into that too. Like you kind of seen from, you know, the TL interviews after finals.
I think pros help with this, by the way. Like, just sitting everyone down and like giving everyone a space where it's like, yeah, you guys can just like go out and say like what you really think. And you aren't, it's not punished, it's encouraged. I don't know like what Sven thinks, because I know that Sven was on that show, and obviously Sven would be a player, but I actually do feel like that kind of gave the platform for everyone to really speak their mind. And I feel like everyone has spoken their mind this split, and it has made things more interesting.
I mean, okay, so I want to agree that I like that APA is going out there and trash-talking people, because NA hasn't had that in a while.
Mm-hmm.
I also like that FlyQuest players, Inspired and Whippo, for example, just speak their minds. They are very European. That's all I can say. I mean, that's all it is, right? They are very European, and they don't have a filter, which they should have, because people don't like that in America so much. But I think it adds good spice to the league. And it's funny, it's FlyQuest, who's like the, oh, we're nice guys, Auric. But yeah, I think it's all good things. I just don't know what the take is about, you know? Like, is there any negatives to what they're doing? Like, I'm not sure what we're actually arguing about.
Well, no,
point, you know?
Because a lot of people think that a lot of fans feel like Whippo and Inspired should like be polite more, should not shit talk so much. They come across, they're like, I don't like them because they're super cocky or whatever. And then I think the take here is also like specific to MSI. They busted out. Everyone can say that's a bad thing. And I'm sure even the caller, you would suggest it'd be great if like FlyQuest had just sounded really great.
I see what you mean now. Yeah.
But
okay.
The villains of the league have now just like flopped, and now there's even more discussion and engagement. Yeah. You know?
Let me try to frame it this way, if this kind of makes sense. Like, here's kind of like two scenarios. So say on one hand, FlyQuest ran a roster this year without Whippo and Inspired. Say hypothetically they had Licorice and Spica, you know, and they're great players, great personalities, but very different players and personalities, right? And say they had the same trajectory that they had this split, where, you know, they did pretty well in spring, then they kind of lost at the end, and then they went into MSI and it just kind of floundered. That to me is not nearly as interesting of a storyline, where you could almost make like a 30 for 30 on this spring for FlyQuest, where you start it with Whippo's pros interview from week two as like the height. You know what I mean? And then look how it ends. And to me, that's much more interesting and engaging, even if, it's a little depressing, but like you know, you got to take what you can get sometimes as an NA fan. I feel like it's more interesting and engaging. It makes me want to watch more next split. Because for me, like, I know when I watched that pros interview, I was like, you know, I hate that guy. I want him to lose spring. So I was watching spring finals, you know, to see him lose. You know what I mean? And I was ticked off. You know, they knocked out C9. I was like, man, I hope TL wins this game. But usually I wouldn't have cared. You know, I did not orgs I really care about typically. I'm a C9 fan, but like, I wanted to watch finals because I wanted to see them lose. And I don't mean that disrespect to the players. I think you can respectfully root against a team.
Oh, hell yeah.
So but that's just how I feel about it. So when I woke up, you know, the next morning and saw they lost, I mean, obviously I prefer them win. Sure, it'd be great for an A. But I was like, you know, hell yeah. I'm glad it happened to them and not someone else. So that's just my general take and feeling on it.
So, Sven, what do you think?
I mean, if there's anything I've learned from Twitter the last week, it's that hate's good for engagement, you know?
Agreed.
I don't know why you needed the last week of Twitter to teach you that. I feel like that's the constant.
Travis, are you not up to date with the current rap beef going
on? No, I know. I'm just saying people fucking hate on Twitter all the time. It's fine. But
right. Yeah, the downside to like being honest and sometimes doing hate is that it can be kind of like taxing mentally
to
like have to deal with all the people that watch you only in your most vulnerable moments, and then you say anything wrong, they'll make sure to dissect it and analyze it, and it's just, it can be hard on someone mentally to be, have to be in a position at all times where, like, you know, people will jump at you on any moment you say anything wrong. Like, Inspire does an interview 5 minutes after he lost LCS Finals, maybe a bit emotional, didn't watch the games back, said things a little bit too harshly, and now he's getting picked apart by everyone because he lost at MSI. You know what I'm saying? Even though you have no idea what their 3-week boot camp was like. Maybe he was the nicest guy on the planet, trying his hardest every day. You don't know. You know, that's all I'm saying. You know, it's hard to like judge without all the information.
And I think you can root against someone without, you know, sliding in their Twitter DMs and, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
no,
I'm sure you can.
I'm a football fan, and I love when the Ravens lose, but, you know, I'm not DMing Lamar Jackson, you know what I mean? But
yeah, some people are, and that's
you might not be, but yeah, like I said, some people aren't as good as that.
I mean, I think it's fun too, because like obviously, I mean, like let's say FlyQuest go and win summer, and Inspire just gets to talk all the shit that he wants too. He has the right for that, and I that would be fun as hell. You know, if the villains win and they clap back at everyone, like, I mean, that would make for a great story. So I'm like, from the content angle, I'm here for it. I just wish that NA was more than a content region.
Well, yeah. They are, and you're going to find that tonight whenever Team Liquid beats Top Esports.
Hell yeah. I hope you're right, Travis. Subscribe. I really do. I really do.
Tatabi, thank you so much for the call. Anything you want to shout out here at the end?
Yeah, I'll just do a few quick ones. Shout out to Travis. I've been watching you for 11 years now. So
Jesus Christ.
Pretty cool. I found you from an MLG Raleigh video a long time ago.
Oh my God.
shout out to C9 and especially Jack for keeping spicy rosters coming, and to Sven. I enjoyed watching you for the years you're on C9, so shout out to you as well. And shout out to whoever's decision it is at Riot to add a 1v1 tournament during the 2-week regular season gap we're gonna have. So whoever that is, I hope you think about it.
I don't, so they're not doing it because they're doing a different tournament, which we won't discuss, but yeah, thank you so much to Tommy for the call, and we'll catch you next time. All right, we've got one last call for the evening coming in here in a second. I'm doing a poll over on YouTube about Vanguard because Snow Leopard sent $10 in a super chat and asked me to run it, and it's being ran. So there you go. Thank you to Laser Fruit, Lit Drummer Boy, Easy Yes, Seismix, Glimmer Glenn, and Mexican Armada. Thank you, everybody, for all of the subs and support tonight. It's very much appreciated. Gamborino is here. Gamborino, where are you calling from?
Hey, I'm calling from North Dakota.
North Dakota. What do you want to talk about on the show?
I want to talk about just kind of mindsets of Western teams at these international tournaments and how it seems like the mindset that APA has going into this MSI bracket is a lot healthier for Western teams where they're at. So during the media tour, he did an interview saying his goal isn't a specific placement or making it to like a certain cutoff, like top four or whatever. It's to just improve and get better, which is a healthier mindset for a region trying to catch up to Korea or China.
So he said that His goal is to improve and get better, you're saying?
Yes. He did an interview where essentially when he was asked how far is does he have to make it to be considered successes, he considers success an improvement going into summer and into Worlds, which is I
think
that
more that crazy long-term. Of an answer? I feel like I've interviewed so many pro players at international events who have said the same thing, especially at MSI.
Sven, you said that's a rookie answer right off the bat, yeah?
Yeah.
Well, why do you think so?
It's kind of like when I was a rookie, I had the same, like, in my first year of Worlds, when I was with Origin, I also just thought, I'm just going to go in and play every game to win, and then we see what happens. Because when you're an early, like, pro player in your rookie year or rookie years, you don't think so much about the results. You think just about, you know, honing your skills and reaching your final form as fast as possible. It's just, like, a very common mindset that you don't care so much about, like, titles and trophies and, like, legacy and all this, this ripple. You just want to get to your best level as fast as possible, and then we see what happens, you know? That's why I felt like I can resonate with what he just said. That's how I was also feeling when I was a rookie.
Yeah.
I mean, I sign up for the process thinking versus results-based thinking. I feel like that's very process-oriented from APA. I feel like that helps in the long run. And APA is not a world-class player. Like, he's made two international events in his first two splits. I think that's crazy impressive, but he realizes that he has a long way to go to be a world-class player. I think it's the right mindset. And if you do that right, then the results will come. I asked it, like, if you said, like, that was a rookie mindset, Zen, if, like, your mindset's changed now. Like, I know that it's a big thing with, I know, like, NBA playoffs are going on right now. Like, a lot of players who are late in their career are like, you know, I don't know how many goes I have at this.
Yeah.
Like, obviously, like, everyone has a time where they're going to hang it up. So I kind of, like, asked, like, wondering if, like, if you're at an MSI now, like, does that kind of change for you? Or do you feel, like, results matter more now that, like, you're later into your career?
Results always matter. Like, I can guarantee you that APA might say what he said in an interview.
He wants to win.
But if he was in FlyQuest shoes and he lost to PSG, he would be fucking, you know, mad as fuck. And he wouldn't be thinking, at least I improved, you know? That's not how it works. So, like, even if he says that, he still really cares about the result. And anything, if they don't win a single game against the East in this tournament and they just bomb out, you know, top esports 0-3 and then they play against, I don't know, fucking anyone else in the low bracket and they lose, it's a massive disappointment to them, right? So it's still, even if you say this, you still care about the result a lot, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. G4 Trees, competitor. Yeah.
G4 Trees in the chat says, WTF is this take? If you don't play to win, you won't win. What do you think of that, Sven? Is APA statement wrong? Because it's too far away from...
No, I think it's the overall take is good, like, from APA and the caller that, like, the tournament, it's more... If FlyQuest went into MSI, I think they could win MSI. They're delusional, right? The best takeaway is that the rookies can improve, and the team as a squad can get some international experience. In my opinion, if FlyQuest had qualified for the main event and lost to every team there, that would be fine for them, given that they have rookies, they aren't the best NA team, and competition is kind of good, you know.
That's the expectation. Like it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If I could just ask one question here to kind of add on to the take.
Sure.
Given what FlyQuest was saying happened after their loss to PSG, I guess my take was kind of coming from they were kind of more focused on, even though they won and then got smashed by T1, they were kind of focused on that result rather than what's the steps to improve that. It almost seemed like because of the shell shock. And they seem more focused on that result rather than how do we get ready to face T1, BLG, Eastern teams going into the next stage. Like, how do we get to that point where we're ready?
Yeah, I mean, I can't speak for FlyQuest, but maybe they thought PSG was just fucking free, like, oh, we already beat those guys, or maybe... I can't speak. Honestly, it's hard to answer that question, because I don't know what FlyQuest is thinking in their heads after they lost to T1. Maybe they weren't tilted at all, maybe they just got figured out by PSG, or, you know, maybe they got... Maybe, like, some people in their team got realization that they can't actually compete with the best teams in the world after scrimming. It happened to me last year. You know, we scrimmed, like, the entire LCK over 3 days, and we got stomped so fucking hard that I was like, wow, we can't compete. you know, it does happen. So I don't know. It's hard to say.
I mean, this is actually like it's like very common. I mean, I was talking with a cop, like I mentioned like Masu beforehand. Like, I mean, you're gonna get slapped around like before you get there, right? You just gotta like kind of take it on the chin. And like, I feel like the biggest thing is just how you respond to it. Like, it should be motivating to get smacked that hard. Like, it really should. Like, I have a lot of respect for pros. Like, I mean, I cover you guys. I know how hard you guys work. I tried to be in your shoes at one point. I couldn't do it. I wasn't even close. If you work that hard and then you go and you realize the gap is still that big, it can be demoralizing because that's so much time that you put in that, like, you then feel like, wow, I still have this far to go. But also, like, it can light a fire under you. Like, wow, I still have this far to go, right? Like, the fact that, like, you have that far to go, that should be a new battle for you to conquer. And I think one of my bigger frustrations with FlyQuest is I feel like their response to getting smacked by T1 was not, oh, we have that far to go. It was, we're going to go out there and, like, recede in terms of, like, what I saw from their first series against PSG. Like, and for, like, some people in chat are like, why would getting shit on that hard ever be motivating, bro? Because we're competing and you don't want to be a fucking loser. Like, it should be that motivating, you know? Like, if your response, like, isn't motivating, then what are you doing trying to compete? So, I don't know. I feel like, I mean, I like APA's mindset. I do feel like APA, like, he's always had a good head on his shoulders. I said early on when he joined LCS that I didn't feel like his play was ready, but I felt like the person was. And I know that a lot of people, like, have opinions on APA because he likes to type. I've always felt like he likes to type because he holds himself accountable. And I feel like this is also holding himself accountable. Like, he's going there and he wants to improve as much as he can because he realizes that he has a long way to go. And I hope that him, like, he shows that. Yawn didn't show that at Worlds last year. APA didn't show that at Worlds last year. They have an opportunity to do it again. I think they did improve, especially Yawn in this split of LCS. And I'm hoping that they can at least go and put up a respectable performance, you know? Yeah. So.
Yeah. Gamberino, thank you so much for the call. Really appreciate it. Anything that you want to shout out here at the end?
I'd like to shout out Travis, who I've been watching your content since I was in middle school.
No, stop.
Shit.
No.
You are old, Travis.
No.
So you.
My birthday is in less than 2 weeks, and I'm going to be 35, and then I'm just going to wither away and die. Gamberino, thank you so much for the call. Catch
Great,
you later.
Thank you.
Oh, you know, the only solace I have is that I live with Kobe, and Kobe is older than me by like a couple of years. And so,
wait, really?
Yeah, I know.
How old is Kobe?
I think he's 37.
All this shit.
Yeah, I know. I know. And he and I are both single. So, you know, like,
you just feel like putting that out there or what?
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
His birthday is coming up. He might want to date, you know?
Yeah, I'm just saying he's single, and so whenever I'm sitting here at 35, unmarried,
oh, that's
talking about video
about.
Games.
Okay. That's the point. Okay.
I look at Kobe and I go, well, you know, he's very handsome. So if he can't swing it, then there's like, you know.
It makes you feel better or what?
Yeah, it makes me feel better. Like, if
that's
that
nice.
Man,
that's good cope. Yeah.
That man who just goes to the gym every day, and I wake up in the morning, he's grunting in the living room because he's doing exercises, and after waking up early to go for a jog, you know, it's like, all right, well, I just play Magic the Gathering. What do I expect? All right.
anyway,
let's go through some shout outs, some plugs here at the end. Cubby, what do you want to shout out? What do you want to talk about?
Shout out to C-Law. I was co-streaming the top 16, and I'll be co-streaming top 8, where things actually start getting interesting. A lot of tier 2 players are playing in C-Law now, because like Surdy, for example, is on St. Louis, so he's getting a scholarship to go to school and also competing on FlyQuest Challengers and also competing at St. Louis University. So I'll be supporting the youngins on the co-stream this weekend. And then MSI VOD reviews for me. I got to upload the last video to YouTube. But I have to wait 24 hours because I'm a Riot caster and I'm a goody two shoes boy. So I don't break the rules in terms of re-uploading. But I'm a day late for those. So I won't, like, games we play tonight, I won't stream tomorrow, but then the next day I'll co-stream it before MSI starts. So shout out to all that. And thanks to Sven for joining us again. It's always really good to have you. And
yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah, man. I hope that your off season is going well. And
it's not.
the solo queue games. To...
oh no, so... I mean the job situation.
Oh well, that's a bummer to hear. I think a lot myself and a lot of people watching are hoping that changes in the next couple of weeks.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, yeah. Do you feel like off season's pretty much wrapped up?
You're talking to me?
Yeah.
It's not over, but
it is not over. There's one or two things behind the scenes that are cooking that I haven't gotten out yet.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. For me, it's like in a couple of days, I'll know if it's over or not.
Gotcha.
And then if it's over, then I'm not sure what I do then. But yeah, it's not over until it's over.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you can reuse the meme you posted last night if that
what
happens.
What was that meme?
It's
Jover?
It's Jover, yeah.
Dude, I fucking love that meme. It's so good.
It's Jover. I love it too.
The Jover meme is really good.
I love saying that, and it tilts so many of my friends who are in their 30s. They're just like, stop saying that. And I'm like, no.
Also, Travis, can you get some fucking emotes in your chat, bro? Like, what's wrong with you? Like, can you give it the times, bro? This is why you don't have any bitches.
Sven, what shoutouts and plugs do you want to make here at the end?
I want to shout out my own stream, which has emotes and great quality games and permatilt after every game. So it's Twitch.tv, Sven_lol1, because obviously I'm so famous that everyone wants to copy my name, so I can't get my own handle on Twitch. And thanks, Travis and Kobe, for having me.
Yeah. Thank you for the raid. Are you going to stream more tonight?
Nah, fuck no.
Okay. For me, a couple different things. One.
Yeah.
As Sven mentioned, I'm currently single. If you would be interested,
is it a Hotline Love episode?
If you would be,
Travis?
if please let me know if you'd be interested if I made adjustments to my emote situation in Twitch chat, because I've recently received feedback that might be a number one contributor to my current lack of partner. And if that is a deal breaker for you, please let me know because I could change. Other than that, speaking of being single, I'm going to be playing Magic the Gathering in Vancouver next week at Command Fest Vancouver. So if you are in Vancouver, please come out and say hi. I'll be there Friday and Saturday. I'm flying back for my birthday on that Sunday. But that's on the 17th and 18th. And if you want to join, please use code Travis, which helps me in a very minor way, but at least lets them know that there's value in bringing me to something like this. So yeah, you can save some money on your badge or your ticket and stuff for the event if you aren't doing that. But yeah, Command Fest Vancouver, which is in Vancouver, Canada, for context for folks. Either way, thanks so much for watching, everybody. We will be doing this again next Monday, I think. Wait, we're having the same conversation we had last time. Is there a reason we would do it on a different day? Wait, we have to do it on that day because I'm traveling to Canada. I think... No, perfect. Yeah, Monday. There's no games, so... We'll do this again Monday at 7, so please come by and hang out. We'll catch you all next time. Bye.